Radio.
Consumerism and the Soul. An interview with Dr. Matthew Tan. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Matthew Tan.
Thank you very much, Luke. It's very nice to be here.
So I just wanted to start out by asking you about how exactly has culture influenced the way that we today in the Western world view the world?
Yeah, well, culture comes from the Latin word cultura, meaning to cultivate. And as the name suggests, culture is important precisely because it cultivates us into looking at the world in particular ways. And more importantly, it's actually quite important in shaping our conceptions of who we are as persons and how we relate to the world around us. And at the same time, it's also important to note that culture also motivates us to consider the things of ultimate concern. So all of these things are shaped by the culture around us in a way that we are very often unaware. And so it's precisely because of this that I sort of drew attention to the concept of culture, in particular consumer culture, precisely because it is so prevalent around us.
Mm. So currently we live really in a very consumer-driven culture. Does that itself have an influence in the way that we approach the world, each other, our relationships, things that are seemingly outside of simple business transactions?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we have this tendency to think of consumer culture as nothing more than a series of transactions whereby the sovereign consumer, through nothing more than a rational choice, chooses what goods satisfy his wants or needs. He forks out the money, he buys the goods, and he is satisfied, and then he moves on through another rational calculation to decide what other need needs to be met, and then he enters consumer culture to look for the product that best suits his needs, and the whole cycle starts again. In actual fact, what we see in consumer culture is a satisfaction of rationally calculated needs or wants. Rather, consumer culture cultivates precisely because it also cultivates desire. There are a number of theologians out there who are taking their cue from St. Augustine, sort of you look at consumer culture not just as a manipulation of materials to create goods that satisfy rationally calculated needs, as their analyses of the marketing industry will suggest that consumer culture is powerful precisely because it is able to even manipulate desires where desires did not previously exist. And so by so manipulating desires, creating desires that did not exist before, redirecting desires that we may otherwise have had, we are then able to, or rather, you know, advertisers or the peddlers of goods are able to shape the way we relate to a product, and even more importantly, shape the way we relate to people who are consuming the exact same product. So there's this idea that if you could consume the same product, let's just say a car or something, you are somehow incorporated into this massive family, right? So if you you take a car from Company X, well, then you belong to the family of Company X. There's that sort of line that advertisers use sometimes.
Mm. Could you say that this even extends further, not simply to purchasing or consuming a product, but even consuming, I guess, for want of a better word, the people around us? Do you think that we have an approach of treating the people around us kind of as products, as we're influenced by marketing to have that desire response to the products that they're selling?
Oh, very much so. When one particular culture becomes the dominant culture, the power of that culture to shape the way we view the transactions within that culture can also influence the way we view our transactions in other cultural contexts as well. So it's not just that we will have our desires manipulated only when are trading goods and services, even when we are no longer trading goods and services and moving on into the realm of human relationships, we can find ourselves using the exact same logic of consumerism to relate to those people. At the same time, you can even find situations where questions of ultimate concern, religious questions, spiritual questions, theological questions, also fall within that same logic of consumerism as well. So spirituality stops becoming something to which you submit in order for you to find ultimate meaning. It becomes one choice amongst many, whereby the sovereign spiritual seeker creates meaning, finds his own meaning, and it becomes ultimately his or her own individual choice. The truth of the claim does not become important anymore. What does become important is the choice of the consumer, the religious consumer, to consume your religious product. So it doesn't just affect the, you know, the potential congregant. It may even affect the way pastors or religious leaders shape their own programs, their programs of catechesis, or the way that their church is run. So this logic of consumer culture is incredibly pervasive. It doesn't just affect one area of activity, it affects all areas of activity when it becomes dominant.
Now, you mentioned a little bit further before about theologians referencing St. Augustine in approaching this. What exactly have theologians and Catholic commentators had to say about this creeping consumerism into our relationships and every facet of our lives?
Well, I'll answer your question about St. Augustine first. I mean, the main point that many of these theologians, both Catholic and Protestant, I might add, use as their primary material is that line from the beginning of Augustine's Confessions, whereby they say, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." Philosophers and theologians such as James K.A. Smith, William Kavanagh, Daniel M. Bell, these three figures in particular have sort of looked at when we relate to the world, we do so not as rational thinking beings, but as desiring beings. We are not driven by our minds primarily, but are driven by our hearts. Our mind's choice to move in a particular direction or do a particular action comes after a process of desiring. Right, we desire to do a particular thing, and our mind then tells us what to do in the wake of that desire. So, to answer your second question on what authors, and in particular what Catholic authors, have said on this, William Kavanagh in particular is particularly instructive on this score. He's sort of written a book called Being Consumed some years ago. And in that, he looks at economics in general, not just primarily as an assembly of trading raw materials to produce other materials. He sort of generally, I'm paraphrasing his argument here, but he looks at it primarily as an assembly of desire. Right? We arrange our goods in such a way that we are able to, or advertisers more specifically, are able to generate desires for a particular material good. So we see, for instance, cars being advertised not on the basis of their performance, but on generally around the lifestyle that car is said to command. So by looking at the lifestyle around the car rather than the performance of the car itself, advertisers are starting to tap into not so much the rational, calculative part of our persons that seeks to find, you know, the best fuel economy, the best power to weight ratio, or things of that nature, and instead it taps into our desiring parts, our hearts, and drawing us to desire the lifestyle, and the car becomes the key to that lifestyle. And so in so doing, it is sort of creating a desire that is not necessarily associated, not necessarily in and of itself associated with the product, but is affiliated with the product. And then your product becomes the key to fulfilling that desire. So in a way, in a very strange way, the product becomes something more than it is, right? It becomes a kind of secular sacrament in a way. It is a visible sign of an invisible action, right? A kind of invisible secular grace. The grace here being the lifestyle, the love, the glory that you are supposed to get when you acquire the product.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Mathitan. It was definitely a very interesting conversation and one that's definitely pertinent to how we're living today and gives us an awareness of the consumer culture around us. So hope everything's going well for you over in the United States, and thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much. It was very nice talking to you.
That was an interview with Dr. Mathitan on consumerism and the soul. For more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.